Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us here on the Big X Sports Radio. Basketball season is so very close. Of course, we got to talk yesterday about Indiana losing to Marquette in a very, very close game. It was a closed exhibition game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Sunday. I think I've probably stared and studied and looked and refreshed and brought it back up again, that box score, more than I have any other box score. But when you're this close to the season and you want to see some good basketball and there's a closed exhibition, about the closest you can get to the game is the box score. There really were no video highlights, at least from an IU perspective. So looking at that thing, breaking that thing down, trying to visualize things from that, it's about where we are. But the good news is we're close to an exhibition game for this Indiana team. Very soon they will take on Gannon, a non-Division I opponent. And then, of course, after that, as you get into the month of December, it's time for the real deal. I saw John Rothstein today, a great college basketball analyst, tweet that 1 week from today, I guess really 1 week from tonight, there will be college basketball of interest on TV, and that is very, very exciting. And it's also hard to believe that it's late October, essentially. We are basically a month away from the start of high school boys basketball games, that is. We are basically a month, just over a month away from Thanksgiving, that holiday, 2 months away from Christmas. So no question about it. This is the sweet spot when it comes to college hoops, high school hoops, and, of course, football as well. College football is in the latter part of the regular season, and there's all sorts of interest with Indiana after a big win. It seems like the last couple of weeks I've really felt the momentum of this IU football program increase and grow, and the interest even in fans as they become a step closer to bowl eligibility and maybe a step closer to a sort of a record season if they can record 7 or 8 wins and really make a mark and see if this is something they can use to catapult themselves forward. But a lot of exciting things right now. Glad you're with us. We do our best each day live in the 11 o'clock hour. The replay here on the Big X at 3. Our podcast available anytime on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. We do our best to summarize everything going on with IU basketball, IU football, and, of course, sports from a local perspective as well. And we're glad you're with us today for this Tuesday program. Let's jump into it with a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, which today will include a look at Indiana natives and Indiana alumni as far as colleges go that are now in the NBA. The Indianapolis Star had a neat story. They always do this sort of stuff leading into the season. We'll break down the number of players from the state that have a connection to the state as well. Also, a small Romeo Langford update as his injury. This time it's a right knee sprain. He's still out from that, but we'll tell you the latest, at least the latest that we know. IU added a walk-on yesterday, and some preseason polls are out. The Associated Press Top 25, obviously, the main, and we'll tell you about that coming up here in just a second. And you don't see this every day. Remember Culver Academies, the team that Silver Creek defeated in the 3A state championship game. Also, the team that Trey Galloway, IU commit in the 2020 class, plays for. His dad, Mark Galloway, I've known for years, and he's come on this program before to talk about Trey, to talk about and preview that Silver Creek state championship game. They were put on probation which you do not see very often in Indiana. There are some minor rule violations. There are some slaps on the wrist, things that make it into the minutes of the state board meetings from time to time, but very rarely do you see a probation issued. And we'll talk more about that coming up as well for Culver Academies, of course, the team that Trey Galloway plays for. Later in the program, segment two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us today. Our segment with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. And then later in the program, segment three, we'll close things out today with the great Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. He makes his return today in place of Mike Pegram. And, of course, with Jeff, we'll talk more about IU Marquette coming out of that secret scrimmage over the weekend at Bankers Life. We'll talk some recruiting with Jeff and just get ready for the season with him as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Remember, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham. Want to remind you of this. I used to do a better job of this, and I've slacked on it, but with the basketball season here, I seem to get more and more interaction, more and more questions, whether it's in person when I'm out and about or whether it's on Twitter or social media. I want to invite you to connect with the show. You know a lot of the guests that are going to be on with us each and every day. You know a lot of the things we're going to do and the format of the show each day here on the Hoosier Report. So submit a comment or a question for one of our guests, and there's a good chance it might get read on the air at some point. On Twitter, you can follow me at Hoosier Hills. Again, Hoosier Hills. And tweet at me your question or comment. We'll try to get it on the air. And if you follow the show on Facebook, you can search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can send us a message on Facebook as well. And again, we're looking for your comments about IU for the upcoming season. We're looking for questions for guests that are going to join us today on the program, and we'll do our best to fit some of those in each and every day moving forward here on the Hoosier Report. Let's take a look at the Zaxby's headlines. It's a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. How about this? A great list of Indiana natives and Indiana College alumni that are in the NBA this season. This is per a recent Indy Star article. If you look at training camp rosters, and obviously see Juwan Morgan at Utah, there have been some changes already with training camp rosters this early into the NBA. I don't know what you call this right now, preseason, start of the regular season. But there have been, you know, a few changes already. One of those that affects this list is Juwan Morgan. But if you look at training camp rosters alone, the Indianapolis Star had eight. I counted nine IU players that have IU connections that graduated from Indiana, that played for Indiana at some point in the NBA. Purdue, four. Butler with two, and one each for Notre Dame, Purdue, Fort Wayne, Valparaiso, and IUPUI. I counted a total of 19 Hoosier connections, we'll call them, on NBA training camp rosters. If you say, well, who are the nine IU guys? Obviously, Romeo Langford on the Celtics, Cody Zeller for Washington, Eric Gordon at Houston, Vic Oladipo at the Pacers, Noah Vonleh, Minnesota, Yogi out at Sacramento, OG Anunoby could have a good year at Toronto, Juwan Morgan listed at Utah. It looks like that he's going to be on their G League roster. The best he can hope for maybe is a two-way contract where he could go back and forth. And that's interesting because Salt Lake, the Jazz, and Salt Lake, the G League team, right in Salt Lake, the same city. Thomas Bryant, he is in Washington as well. So that is the IU guys, the IU connections in the NBA for this upcoming season. And also, the Indianapolis Star breaks it down by high school, which is interesting as well. I'm not sure I would have guessed this, but Park Tudor in Indianapolis, a private school who doesn't have much of a basketball program right now. There have been some crazy happenings there with a coach that got in a lot of trouble and is in jail. But back in the day, and just a number of years ago, they were really good and produced a number of great players that went on to play college basketball, and three of them in the NBA. So Park Tudor, if you look at Indiana high schools, for a long time it was Indianapolis Pike that had the most alumni currently in the NBA with the Teague brothers and others. Right now it's Park Tudor, of course, Yogi Ferrell leading that list, and Washington High School with the Zeller brothers. They have two, and Pike has two still on at least training camp rosters as this NBA season gets ready to start. I always think that kind of stuff is interesting. Guys that either brought up in our state, played high school basketball in our state, or, of course, played for one of our major colleges, or maybe both. Maybe they're a native that chose to stay here and attend an Indiana college as well. But a snapshot at maybe some things to follow and players to pay attention to most when you look at NBA and professional basketball for the upcoming season. Headline number two today, a small Romeo Langford update. According to a recent Mass Live report, Romeo, what caused the right knee sprain a week ago this past Sunday, he slipped on a wet spot at TD Garden in Boston, which caused him to be out with his knee sprain. Last week, Brad Stevens said, and this is a quote, "Romeo Langford is getting better every day. We still hope for next week sometime that he's fully cleared to practice," end quote. So that would tell you that potentially this week he could return to practice for the Boston team. And again, you got to hope he finds some minutes when he does return and sees what type of role he can find for this Boston team as they start things out here in the 2019-2020 NBA season. Looking back at the preseason games, I think it was five games total that the Celtics played in preseason. Romeo only participated in two of those games, and he logged a total of 21 minutes. So 0 minutes, zero action in July at the NBA Summer League, which is a great tune-up for NBA players. In five preseason games, he played in two, and again, just logged 21 minutes. He was, I guess, in the fourth quarter of the game when he got hurt, so likely he would have been able to add some decent minutes to that 21-minute total had he not got hurt for preseason. And then, of course, he missed another game, the final preseason game, after that right knee sprain. But it's been a tough start coming back from the thumb injury, tweaked the groin that kept him out a bit, and then, of course, now the right knee sprain is what has him sidelined, or I shouldn't say sidelined, but not doing full practices with the Boston team. Headline three, this is a quick one. IU adds a walk-on for the upcoming season. We saw him add a walk-on the day of Hoosier Hysteria, right before the event was set to begin. IU sent a release out that they were adding a walk-on from Brownsburg, right by Indianapolis. And yesterday, Michael Shipp, he's a 2019 graduate of Moeller High School, which is located in Cincinnati. It's been reported that he is going to be a walk-on as well for this Indiana team for the upcoming season. He won two state championships in the state of Ohio at Moeller. It's a private school and a really strong athletic program, and have had some great basketball teams recently as well. So Michael Shipp, the latest add to this Indiana roster for the upcoming season. Preseason polls is headline number four. It's going to be a really, really good year for college basketball in our immediate area. And I know that a lot of people, if it's not Indiana, they want nothing to do with it. They don't want to watch the game. They don't want to see any success for local teams. I'm not that way. I like seeing our local area do well. I like watching, of course, Indiana games first, but other local teams in action as well. So Kentucky, number two in the Associated Press poll. Louisville, number three in this preseason AP poll that is out. The Big Ten is also well represented. Michigan State's number one in the country to start the season. Obviously, they were the pick to win the Big Ten Conference, so I don't think any surprise that they are also one of the favorites in the country right now as this college basketball season gets ready to begin. Maryland, they are number seven. Ohio State, little surprise there, they are number 18. Purdue, number 23. Illinois, who's had a lot of hype for whatever reason. We'll have to see if it translates into more success on the court than what they had last year. But Illinois and Michigan, neither ranked in the top 25, but both received votes, at least some votes, in the preseason poll. Speaking of rankings and ratings, I saw also that Indiana is number 34 in the initial KenPom computer ratings, which I really enjoy looking at. I think that it's a very accurate way to kind of gauge things. Little surprise Indiana is that high. They are the sixth highest Big Ten team in these computer ratings. Michigan State was 1, Purdue is 7, Ohio State 11, Maryland 16th, Michigan 21st, Illinois 35th, right behind Indiana. Iowa is 41st, and Penn State is 43rd, Wisconsin 45th. So a lot of schools, all but four, in the top 50 of the KenPom computer rankings. And just in case you're wondering, KenPom projects, that's Ken Pomeroy that does these ratings, he projects Indiana to finish an even 10-10 in the Big Ten Conference, and an overall record of 19-12 for this season. That is the projection for KenPom. Headline number five, Culver Academies. That's the team that Silver Creek beat last March in the 3A state championship game. It's also the home to Trey Galloway, who is an IU commit in the 2020 class. They were put on probation, the IHSAA announced yesterday. This is a pretty severe thing. I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, occasionally you read something, there's minutes that come out every month where a school could have their hand slapped or a coach could be, have their hand slapped. A lot of times it's stuff that's self-reported by the athletic director at a school. You don't often see schools get put on probation. Probation essentially means if you don't follow a specific protocol to correct the situation and assure it won't happen again, or if there were to be another violation of any sort, no matter how severe or how minor that occurred, you wouldn't be able to play in the state championship, number one. So big stuff, a big announcement yesterday that's kind of brought a lot of interest and questions to this situation. No real explanation as to why the probation handed down. And also, Coach Galloway, Trey's dad, has been suspended for four games. He will not be able to coach Culver Academies in their first four games of the upcoming season as well. So another note, Silver Creek fans listening, and of course a lot of interest in Trey Kaufman and his recruitment by IU and a lot of other high major schools out there, you don't have to worry about Culver Academies in the state tournament this year, because when they got to the state finals, even though they didn't win the state championship, in the IHSA success factor with the point system, they have enough points they have to bump up and play in the 4A state tournament this year. So if Trey Galloway is going to go out as a state champion this year, he won't have to go through Silver Creek and Trey Kaufman in the state championship game. They'll have to work their way through the 4A state tournament. Our headlines each day brought to you by Zaxby's, the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. Those are the headlines and segment one for this Tuesday, October 22nd program. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, he's a sports columnist for the Star, and he joins us on Tuesdays presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk IU football, big road win over the weekend. They're going to get bowl eligible. It's just a matter of time. Can they set I don't want to say a record win total, but can they maybe make some big steps even beyond getting bowl eligible and the quality of bowl that they get to play in and in the win total as well. We'll talk that. We'll talk the Pacers opening up with Greg Doyle and some IU basketball as well. We'll do all that next here on this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, sports columnist, is with us Tuesdays presented by Coffee Crossing. Coffee Crossing would like to invite everyone to their newest location, which opens soon in downtown New Albany. They are turning their own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg is with us now. Greg, we want to talk IU football, IU basketball, a little Pacers as well, and Victor Oladipo if we have time. But I want to start with this. I think you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, but you work so far ahead on certain things, columns that you can, especially in the summer months and the off season, that we talked some about Mount St. Francis on this program with you long before you had been down to visit or write a column about the gymnasium and some things that happened there. We even had a reader or two from this show submit some, I hope, helpful information that got you in touch or gave you a little background on that column you ended up writing. And then I saw it posted, I think, for the first time last week. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd like to open talking about that. If somebody hasn't read it, you can find it. I just retweeted it on the station's Twitter account. But really neat piece about a neat place that I'm well aware of, but I didn't even know they had a gym, Greg, until you brought it up on this show.
Well, because if you've ever driven by by the facility or driven down that long driveway and looked, you wouldn't see a gym there because there's not one. Only there is that little two-story building. That's a gym. The ceiling is so low that they changed their shots. And there's stories, and I quote it in my story. There's newspaper stories written in the 40s and 50s. Sports writers saying they slingshot the ball to the rim because you can't put arc on it, but they've made it work for them. Yeah, I work in advance, Matt, but I don't work that far in advance. That story running now, and I'll do it 3 months ago. I don't work 3 months in advance. It's a little embarrassing, but the way I'm wired is I like to have something in my back pocket. I like to have something saved for a rainy day. Like, I show up places early because I don't want to be late, and I want a little bit more money in savings than I probably ought to have, because you never know when the typhoon's going to hit me in Indianapolis. I mean, just stupid stuff, but I always want to be prepared. Well, that was my last summer story. I was like at one point three or four stories ahead. I'd written three or four, and they hadn't run yet, and so it just felt great to know that, I could take next week off because of a tuberculosis scare, and I'm ready to go. Well, they kept running, and finally I'm down to this one, and I just kept sitting on it. I never gave myself an easy week. I would say, well, next week you don't have to work that hard because you got that St. Francis story. No, I'd work hard and save it for next week. And I finally, about 2 weeks ago, said to myself, Greg, if you don't run this now, you're never going to run it. That will be your rainy day story forever. So I bit the bullet and ran the thing finally. But it's embarrassing I held on to it that long.
Good stuff, and it's always neat to see some pub for our area, and especially when it's Greg Doyle coming down to do it. But go ahead.
And one more thing, because I got people, just like I love my dark chocolate coffee, and I got to mention that every time at Coffee Crossing. I also have to mention it every time. If there are people that don't like that, I cut you off. So I will cut you off every time, at least once, just for their benefit. Because there are some people in the world that if you don't give them something to be mad about, now they're really mad at you.
So
I'm going to make them happy by giving them something to be mad out. But I want to talk. Huh?
I haven't heard that for a while. That was months ago. I forget what it was. It was something. Was it something about Romeo, maybe? I don't know. It probably wasn't even the cutoff. It probably was more the subject that upset, how sensitive people can be. So.
Oh, I do. The story, when I show up at this gym, first of all, I was told there's a really interesting gym at Mount St. Francis. I like gyms. Go right about that gym. Well, it turns out the gym is just a sidelight to the real story. The real story is they played their first sectional in 1948, a Catholic school going into a really kind of an anti-Catholic town at the time, Paoli. That's what they thought, anyway. I'm not trying to be mean to Paoli, but they were scared. They thought Paoli wasn't down with Catholics. And the story it's almost a miracle. The whole thing, basketball and otherwise, it's almost a miracle what happened. So the gym became a small footnote. But my favorite part of the story is that when I show up there, there's a guy I've been talking to on the phone named Brother Dennis, and his last name is Moses. You can't make that up. Brother Dennis Moses, he shows up, and he's wearing a tunic. Like he looks like Friar Tuck. And he's serious. Like, that's what he wears. But he's also got on basketball sneakers. So a tunic with sneakers. It was brilliant.
You can read this column if you haven't seen it at indystar.com/sports/Doyle, D-O-Y-E-L. It'll also get you there if you want to check not only this column out, but anything that Greg pins for the Star. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Want to get into some topics I had down to talk with you about today. IU football, this is the point of the season, late October, early November, where a lot of years over the last couple of seasons, the conversation about IU football with you and others that come on this show dies off, and we find more early basketball stuff to talk about because Indiana's fading away or Indiana hasn't had the season that they hope to have. This is one where with each win over the last couple Saturdays, I could kind of feel more momentum, as you would expect, around this team, around this program, more Indiana fans as basketball is getting geared up on one side, still keeping a very watchful eye and interest with the football team. They had a big, exciting victory, I thought, on the road Saturday, and I'm really interested in this Nebraska game coming up. I think it's one, if we get the right Indiana team with the right pieces working that we've seen for a good portion of this year, they might be able to become bowl eligible on the road at Nebraska, and that's not only a bowl eligible win, but it's kind of a signature win, I think, for this team, even though it may not be the Nebraska of old or even the Nebraska that some people thought would be really strong this year.
Yeah, this IU team, you don't compare them to Ohio State and Alabama and places like that. You compare them to who they've been over the years. And over the years, IU goes into Maryland, a mediocre Maryland team on the road. They go and they lose. That's what they do. And that's why they are IU football. But not anymore. They're at least not this year. They're different. They went into that game and they won. And now you just don't know what they can't do. I mean, you know, they can beat Nebraska for sure, which is a crazy sentence to say out loud, but we all know what's happened in Nebraska. We also know that IU's football is pretty good. They can beat Nebraska. They should beat Northwestern at home. The Purdue game looks tougher than it did a few weeks ago, but still, I mean, this team could win eight games. I mean, it could win eight games, and if it does win eight games, knowing what we know right now, a month from now, 2 months from now, no one's going to say, I can't believe they won eight. Well, you might can't believe it back in August, but you can believe it right now because they're pretty good.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing, who opens their fifth location very soon in downtown New Albany. IU basketball.
And Peyton, go ahead. Peyton Ramsey, if we're going to shift topics, let's get him in real quick. How about Peyton Ramsey? How about in a day and age? You look at the Heisman frontrunners right now, three of them. There's Fields at Ohio State, there's Burrow at LSU, and there's Hurts at Oklahoma. All three of those guys are transfers, all three of them. And no, Peyton Ramsey is not. He doesn't belong on that Mount Rushmore of Heisman candidates. But if you're he's a starting quarterback at IU for 2 years, on pace to break every record in the book, and gets beaten out, and Jack Cuddles here, he could be possibly a third stringer at some point, although he's not. But this is the day and age where guys like Peyton Ramsey leave. They transfer. They go somewhere where they can play. And Peyton Ramsey stuck around, and they needed him, and they won the game because of Peyton Ramsey, so good for him.
Yeah, no question about it. Greg, I want to talk IU basketball as well. Marquette in a closed-door exhibition game, and there are some very interesting things to take away from what we know from the box score, that Devontae Green and Rob Phinisee did not play, that some of the newcomers, including Armon Franklin, had a nice line score in the game, and it looks like did some very good things at the point guard position for the team. Newcomers, Trace Jackson-Davis also playing well, Joey Brunk, had a nice result in the box score. All we can look at is a piece of paper and maybe a couple small reports and nuggets that have come out of the scrimmage, which was a three-point loss for Indiana on Sunday. But definitely some intriguing things that I think just make the start of the season, at least for what fans will be able to see with the exhibition game forthcoming with Gannon, even that more exciting. This is a team where there are definitely some question marks. Question marks in multiple positions, question marks and who's going to do what, question mark with Devontae Green and will he be the scoring threat and the offensive leader that Indiana needs. But there are also some intriguing things about this team as well that I think we are getting more and more excited about with each day that passes, especially when you see a box score and see some of the performances and some of the things that make you question or wonder how will that all come together when we can see it unfold here early in the season.
Yeah, three things in that box score really caught my eye right out of the gate. One is that Phinisee and Devontae did not play, and they still, you know, were very competitive with Marquette. And I'm not sure if Marquette didn't play with their best player or two, but I think that they played everybody. So you had your two lead guards didn't play, and you still competed with Marquette. That's pretty good. The other thing, Armon Franklin, I've been waiting to see some reason why he's here. And granted, there hasn't been a game yet, but I've seen him in small star games. I've read about him in the Hoosier Hysteria, and I haven't really seen anything. Like, I mean, I'm sure he's good. I mean, IU got him for a reason, but I haven't seen it. The stat line, you see it. And then Jerome Hunter played it all. And I think he scored 7 points, but the fact that he played it all and contributed means that, you know, one more step on that guy's road back, and then maybe his road's over. Maybe he is back.
Talking with Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. He's with us every Tuesday on the program. Final quick topic to before we let you go. Pacers regular season starts tomorrow night. We've talked a lot in this offseason about Victor Oladipo, who obviously is a fan favorite and a great IU alum of the basketball program. But with this Pacers team in general, I'm curious what you think, what you see as the regular season is about to tip, and from that point forward, it gets fast and furious.
Well, this is such a pivotal season for the Pacers because they have a four-man core all under contract for a while. Oladipo, Malcolm Brogdon in the offseason, Turner's under signature for a while, and they just re-signed or extended Sabonis. So they got those. That's their four core. But two of them are centers. They can call Sabonis what they want to, but he's a center. And you just can't play that way in the NBA today, or at least if you can, no one's proven it yet. Detroit really hasn't done anything with their two bigs. New Orleans had two of the three best bigs in the world, Cousins and Anthony Davis. They didn't do anything when those guys were healthy on the court. So why are the Pacers going to be different? Well, one reason is they got Oladipo when he comes back. The other thing is they probably aren't going to be very different. And this season we're going to figure out which one of these guys is going to get traded in the offseason. If I had to predict right now, I think they're going to be decent. They're going to be a playoff team in the East. And Turner or Sabonis will be traded in the offseason. That's the way I would have to guess.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment brought to you by Coffee Crossing. They would like to invite everyone to their newest location in downtown New Albany. They are turning their very own bakery at 140 East Main Street into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy. Greg, for you to enjoy your dark chocolate when you make your next trip down to southern Indiana.
I'll bring one to Brother Dennis, the man in the tunic. That's what I'll do.
Sounds good. Greg, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next Tuesday.
Yeah, Matt. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Greg Doyle brought to you by Coffee Crossing each Tuesday in segment two on this program. We'll head to a commercial break. Normally, we have Mike Pegram of Pegs.com in our third and final segment on Tuesdays to talk IU basketball, football, recruiting, and more. And today, Jeff Rabjohns has his place. So we'll head to a break and come back with Jeff and catch up on a lot of IU basketball stuff coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com with us here on this Tuesday program. Obviously, lots of IU basketball conversation coming in this segment with Indiana gearing up for its first open exhibition game after losing to Marquette 72-69 Sunday in a secret scrimmage closed at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Jeff, I said earlier in the show, I don't know that I've ever stared and studied and looked at and reviewed a box score itself as hard as I ever have the one from Sunday, but the season is so close. We have so many questions, but also some intriguing points about this IU team that looking at the box score, there's a lot of different, I think, positive things you can take away from what happened, even in a narrow loss for the team on Sunday. What stood out to you from that box score?
The box score is pretty interesting. I think some things that I learned outside the box score maybe jumped out even a little bit more, particularly Al Durham and Armon Franklin's defense on Marcus Howard. Howard is obviously a preseason All-American in a number of publications, a really talented offensive player. What I heard about the way Durham and Armon Franklin defended him kind of jumped out. What I heard about IU's front court defense, particularly Joey Brunk and Race Thompson, kind of jumped out. Marquette's front court, obviously, with the Hauser brothers departing, is not a monster powerhouse. But when you hold them to three field goals, and my understanding was the one was a putback, so really two field goals in offensive sets, I think that's pretty telling. And when what I heard about the way Al Durham and Armon Franklin played point guard was, I thought, pretty notable. Obviously, Rob Bennessy's IU starting point guard. Everybody knows that. Al Durham is going to be the backup. That's the plan going into the season. Armon Franklin, as a freshman, is kind of a guy who they're looking at. You know, is he going to be ready to maybe get some minutes or not? He at least had encouraging signs, I'll put it that way. So to me, those are the kind of things that I think kind of jumped out maybe a little bit more than just box score stuff. Obviously, on the box score, the fact that three newcomers all scored in double figures, that I thought was interesting. Now, again, a little bit of aberration of Rob Fennessy, Devontae Green not playing due to some minor bumps and bruises. It's kind of a different situation, but Marquette got some votes in the AP preseason poll. They were preseason top 25 in Andy Katch's early look. So they're projected to be a pretty good team. And, when you get freshmen who go out there, obviously Brunk's not a freshman. When you get newcomers go out there and score in double figures, I think that's pretty notable. And I thought the rebounding numbers were pretty good. You know, Race Thompson going out there and getting seven, that's pretty good. I think the free throw percentage was on the other side of the ledger. That's not good. Although going out and getting more than a free throw a minute, that's a really good rate. And I think sometimes people get really, really caught up in free throw percentage. And it obviously matters, but a team that goes out and gets, say, 40 free throws in a game and shoots 60% from the line is actually getting more points per possession than a team that maybe only gets 20 free throws and shoots 75%. You actually end up, you know, the whole thing is points per possession. So if the percentage goes up just a little bit and they can get to the line at a really high rate, you know, that's going to be good for them. But the percentage obviously was a concern. You know, when you're shooting in the 50 percentile range as a D1 team, that's not a good thing. But overall, considering your starting backcourt was out, game's tied with 50 seconds to play. My understanding is they hit kind of a late three in kind of an aberration type situation toward the end that really ended up being the difference. I think that's pretty good sign for Indiana, really.
Did I read the box score correctly that Archie Miller with a technical in this secret scrimmage?
Oh, yeah, he got teed up. My understanding, and I'm sure whenever he has a chance to address it, he will correct me if I am wrong. I do not think I am wrong. So I think I can go ahead and say my understanding is there was a stretch there where he was getting after the refs regular season game style. And there was a point in which they said, okay, you know, you want teed up, we'll give it to you. So, my understanding was the idea was play it like a game, treat it like a game. And, you know, even though you're starting backcourt with Rob Dennessy and Devontae Green aren't out, the idea was, okay, you know, let's pretend let's approach it like a real game. And you guys who are going to play, if it was a real game, you got to play and get it done. No whining, no complaining, no excuses. Go get it done. And, my understanding is Archie got into it regular game style.
I understand. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Any concern about Devontae Green or Rob Fennessy not playing? I believe, if my memory serves correct, they did not play in the 8-minute Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage either, but IU has been consistent in what they tell us, at least, in saying no major injuries or anything like that, more of a precautionary thing. Any thoughts on why they wouldn't play in that game outside of maybe having some bumps and bruises?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is we're talking about, you know, more minor type things, you know, bruised knees, bruised hips, pulled muscle kind of things. So I don't think there's reason for major concern, but I do understand people are going to look at it and say, well, hey, they didn't play in Hoosier Hysteria. A little bit of time passes. Hey, they don't play in the closed scrimmage. You know, is there something, you know, IU's not telling us? You know, that's a very understandable reaction. And then, you know, and I kind of want to see what they look like in, you know, some kind of a, you know, an actual setting. And we'll find out, you know, here in a few days, you know, and they play the exhibition game. But my understanding is that it's nothing major. My understanding is at this point in time, all expectations are that they play to start the season. But obviously, you know, if you're Indiana, you want those guys to get out there because you've got new guys who are going to be playing and people need court time together. You know, you got three guys out there, really, really four if you want to count Armon. With the backcourt, I don't know how much Armon's going to play. He's going to play some. But you got three people who are expected to play reasonably key roles in Joey Brunk, Trace Jackson Davis, and Jerome Hunter, you know, who have never played a game together yet. So, yeah, you can practice, and that's great. But, you know, game time is game time. And I think, you know, for IU, the ideal situation is as much time as all these guys can get together on the court in game situations, the better it's going to be for them.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, our guest today talking IU basketball. I've got to add this, too, as far as looking at box scores and minutes and performances. Just great to see Jerome Hunter get some minutes in this closed scrimmage with everything that he's been through, missing last season, unknown about when and if and when he would play basketball again or would he play at Indiana. Obviously, some major improvements, got a lot of work in the offseason. I know fans were delighted to see him at Hoosier Hysteria get in the scrimmage there as well. But to see him log minutes in a real competitive situation against another school, basically an exhibition game leading up to the start of the year, just no fans there. Wow, what a great turn of events. What a great path forward for him. And now that he's back, of course, I'm sure not 100%, and things being monitored closely. Again, everything's been kept under wraps, as you would expect it to be with HIPAA and any type of injury. But with all that said, if he can log some regular minutes throughout the season, throughout the early part of the season, and work his way into more minutes by Big Ten season, by the first of the year, he is loaded with potential. And I think everybody is just excited right now that he's getting a chance to get back on the court.
Absolutely. He's an incredibly talented player. You know, he's right at about 6'6", 6'7". He can make threes. You know, his development track in high school was really interesting because he grew early, and he started as just basically an on-the-block player, and his game grew out from there. And by his junior year, they were letting him handle it outside the arc. Spring after his junior year, they really started letting him shoot threes. Yeah, he's got a really nice shooting stroke. So there is a world of potential, and that's the positive for IU. I think the one thing that people need to keep in mind, we're still talking about a guy who's never played 1 minute of college basketball. So there's going to be a learning curve, as there is with any player. He was a national top 60 talent, so there is a lot of talent. He does have good size, but there's zero experience right now. So I think there are going to be some moments where people say, oh, wow, look at that. And then I think there are going to be some moments where people say, gee, you know, he's not quite there just yet. But he does give IU scoring potential, and that's something that this team definitely needs. As far as how much he can play, it's worth keeping in mind, you know, that this we're talking about a leg condition. You know, it was not an injury. And he's had to kind of walk it up the stairs as far as what he can do. There's some activity testing. He's good, okay? Now there's more activity, okay? Now you can do a little contact and a little more and a little more. So just because he can play 5-on-5, full contact basketball, doesn't mean he can go out there and play it for 30 minutes in a game. It may be, you know, 15, 18 minutes for a little while. Then it may be more. But you don't know. It's just kind of, this is still a process. Yes, at this point in time, all expectations are, as they have been since probably about July, you know, all expectations are that he plays. But I think people need to keep in mind, just because he can play doesn't mean he can go out there and play 30, 35 minutes. Now, he may get there at some point in time, and this thing is a fluid situation. It can always improve or decline. But I think we're probably, my understanding is, the vibe I get, probably talking somewhere around 15 to 18 minutes early. And then if things go well, it'll kind of go up from there. But yeah, it's definitely, I think that was one of the things I heard from fans the most, was they were just like, oh, how cool is it to see Jerome Hunter's name actually in a box score? You know, I think that was sort of, it was almost like tangible evidence, you know, hey, you know, unless something changes, he's going to play this year. That definitely got people excited, no doubt about it.
We're talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. I mentioned at the start of the show, we'd love to get your questions, and Greg on Facebook has sent a question to the Hoosier Report page for Jeff, and I'm going to get into some recruiting stuff, though it's a perfect segue. Jeff, what is the latest with Christian Lander at Evansville Rights?
I mean, there's not a lot going on right now. He's just starting his junior year of high school. You know, he's making some visits, Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky, Ohio State, North Carolina sent an assistant in. Purdue has been in to see him. So he's made some visits. I think it's notable for Indiana that they were able to get a junior year official visit. But again, the old system was players only got 5 official visits as seniors. The new system is you get 5 official visits as a junior, 5 official visits as a senior. So if you get an official visit from a player as a junior, obviously you're one of his key schools. So I think right now you're probably looking at key schools in reasonable proximity. But again, North Carolina's been in to see him. I know Roy Williams really likes him. Obviously, Carolina has landed R.J. Davis and Caleb Love in the 2019 class. So how much they pursue a guard in 2020 or 2021, we'll kind of see. But that's kind of where things are right now with Christian Lander. He's taking visits. Indiana's definitely one of his key schools. There's going to be competition. He's the number one rated point guard in the country in the 2021 class. So there's going to be more competition, not less, moving forward for Indiana to try to land Christian Lander.
Talking to Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com, another recruiting question I had for you is, what's the latest in the class of 2020 as far as current seniors in high school go? Indiana has swung and missed on a few guys, most recently Hassan Diarra, who committed to Texas A&M. I think it was on Friday afternoon he made that decision, picking A&M over Indiana and Georgia. Who's next in line? Who are the hot prospects? Who are the names? Are there names that you could see this Indiana team hooking up with soon, maybe getting a commitment?
I mean, the number one target for Indiana in 2020 right now is Dawson Garcia by a whole bunch. 5-star prospect out of the Minneapolis area. He's going to make his Indiana official visit this coming weekend. He'll be there Friday through Monday with his family. Big-time player, 6'11", almost like a tall 3-4 in today's basketball, can make threes, can play facing up, really knows how to pass, can score in the post, but more like a guy who flashes to the post and catches it and makes a quick move, not a guy who's just going to sit there and bang for space, but a really skilled player. The key schools, Indiana, Marquette, Memphis, Minnesota, Arizona, maybe a couple others. But Indiana is definitely a legitimate contender there. And he's definitely the guy to pay attention to for Indiana right now in the 2020 class. Obviously, IU's got three commits. Jordan Geronimo, 6'6", 4-star wing from St. Paul's out in New Hampshire. Anthony Leal, 6'5", guard out of Bloomington South. Trey Galloway, 6'5", guard out of Culver. So they've kind of got their wings and then their small forward set. They'd love to add, you know, kind of a stud scorer. And Dawson Garcia is definitely that level of player. So that's the name that's kind of next to pay attention to and pay attention to quite a lot for Indiana in the 2020 class.
Talking to Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com. Also in recruiting in the state of Indiana, some young names that we talk about pretty consistently, Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. I've updated his recruiting stops. He's been at Louisville. He's been at Indiana. He's been at Kentucky for Big Blue Madness. How would you prioritize him in Indiana for this IU staff as we get ready for what should be a great year of high school basketball here in our area? One of the reasons it's going to be fun to follow is because of Trey and because of how good Silver Creek should be this year. I know there's lots of interest in him here locally. There's lots of interest in him by IU fans. And will he be the next Southern Indiana player to make his way to Bloomington? He's got to be right at the top of the list, I would think, for Indiana in his class.
Yeah, there's no question he's very high on the list for Indiana. I think Christian Lander is probably number one, you know, in part, you know, he's number one ranked point guard in the country in his class. And just in today's basketball, if you got a guy who is 6'2", 6'3", knows how to really handle the ball, make shots, can come around screens, and especially can deliver passes at speed with the vision that a Christian Lander has, you know, that guy has so much impact. But Trey Kaufman's definitely up there in that top group. And that's another reason that, you know, Indiana went down to see him the very first day that Silver Creek had an open gym during the fall recruiting period. Indiana assistant coach Tom Ostrom was there. So that tells you quite a lot right there. I had a chance to talk to Trey and his mom this fall, and definitely Indiana is one of the schools that's going after him very, very hard. So he's in that top group for Indiana. Other names that are really, you know, notable to pay attention to, certainly Blake Wesley, about 6'5", wing from South Bend Riley. Indiana's been up to see him. He's got an Indiana official visit coming up here shortly. He's really starting to emerge. I had a chance to go up to South Bend twice in the fall, and you're talking about a kid whose shot is improving, who's already a Big Ten level athlete. That's Blake Wesley. Matt Painter's been there a bunch. Notre Dame, Ohio State, other people are starting to realize, hey, there's a 6'5 athlete who can now shoot the ball. We need to go take a look. But Blake Wesley is a guy that Indiana watched during the spring and summer and really projected properly that if a player who's that long, that athletic, plays defense like that, gets a jump shot, that's a really good prospect. And IU deserves credit for kind of projecting out properly on what he could become. So he's on that group. Caleb First, obviously the center from Fort Wayne, he's definitely on that list. Pierce Thomas over in Brownsburg, I think everybody knows he's a phenomenal track and field athlete. He's starting to shoot the ball better this fall. I think some schools may start poking around a little more with him. But I think there is a big four really right now. And obviously Luke Goody at Homestead, you know, he's on the list. Jaden Brewer, there are some other guys who you look at and say, you know, yeah, they're sort of on the list there. But I think there's kind of a top four really right now at Indiana with Christian Lander, Trey Kaufman, Caleb First, and Blake Wesley.
Great stuff from Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Jeff, great to catch up again. Let's do it again sometime soon. I appreciate your time today.
My friend, always good talking to you. I appreciate the call today. Thanks, brother.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. And that's going to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report brought to you by CC Power Sports. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio.